that are all coronated as saints, and they're talking about Mary being our salvation. So there's a little bit of proof there. Now, Dan, my question, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, my question for you. I guess I have a couple. First of all, you hear a lot, the Catholics are saying, the Bible was given to the world by the Catholic Church. I mean, you know, well, that's their statement, and I believe it's false. Another, if you can kind of note this, the Fatima vision you mentioned, would you give your thoughts about that? And the third one, please explain the Crusades. I believe they were conducted not by Christians. Many Christians were martyred by the popes that were conducting the Crusades. The Christians were called heretics. And please explain that to me in the audience. Was it the Christians? Was it the popes? Was it the emperors? Who was conducting the Crusades? You know, I don't think it was Christians. I think it was popes. Do you have those three?
Yes, I do. I do.
Okay, thanks. I'll hang up.
Listen. Okay,
thank you very much. Okay.
Oh, yes, thank you very much. I'm amazed that you would see the things about so-called canonized saints that you brought out, because I've noticed the same exact thing myself. The popes in the past, what they've said about these people that they've exalted to sainthood is heretical. I say that as kind and as nice as I can, but it does not line up with the Bible. It would point people away from biblical salvation. You asked the question about what the Roman Catholic Church would be saying, that the Bible came to the world through Roman Catholicism. Well, this is not true. Very, very clearly, we see in Romans chapter 3, verse 2, the Apostle Paul was writing about the Jews. Hello? Can you hear?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. In Romans chapter 3, verse 2, the Scripture says, much in every way, first of all, they have been entrusted with the very words of God. Now, he's writing about the Jews. So the Old Testament was entrusted to the Jews. It was here. Now, the New Testament, of course, the Roman Catholic Church would have to say that that Peter and John and all the others, these were all Roman Catholics, and that came to us from the Roman Catholic Church. But I like what my grandmother said after she left the Roman Catholic Church, and her priest, her elderly priest, my grandmother was elderly, but the priest was elderly too, and he went to visit her when there were not visiting hours, and was trying to get her to confess her sins and come back into the Roman Catholic Church. And he brought this issue up about the Bible. And I love my grandmother's answer. She said this. She said, the issue is who's obeying the Bible. And if you get right down to it, the plan of salvation being taught by the Roman Catholic Church is not the plan of salvation declared in the New Testament. And if this wasn't for eternity, it wouldn't be so important. But of course it is. That's why it is so important. So the Bible did not come to the world through the Roman Catholic Church. Roman Catholic Church began slowly over the course of hundreds of years. Nobody prayed the rosary until 1090 A.D. The first 1,000 years after Jesus died, nobody ever prayed the rosary. Which, by the way, the rosary is a violation to one of the commands of God. Not to get too far off on a tangent, but I do want to throw this in while I'm mentioning it right now. Jesus actually taught when you pray, do not pray repetitiously as the pagans pray, because they think they will be heard for their many words. This is in Matthew 6, verses 5 through 8. That's very important. So that's a direct violation to the command of God. Secondly, the caller asked about the Fatima Portugal vision. So not only Fatima, but you have Lourdes and Guadalupe and so many others, these Mary apparitions, where Roman Catholicism is actually taught, and sadly, a wrong plan of salvation is being proclaimed. Now, I have in that same little booklet that I referred to before about the Fatima Portugal vision, where Mary gave a promise. Now, I want you to listen to this promise that Mary gave Lucia. This is on page 47. Quote, I promise to assist at the hour of death with all the graces necessary for salvation all those who on the first Saturday of five consecutive months go to confession and receive Holy Communion, recite five decades of the Rosary, and keep me company for a quarter of an hour while meditating on the mysteries of the Rosary with the intention of making reparation to me. Unquote. Now, this is a promise allegedly from Mary about salvation. And this is, again, not what the Bible says about salvation at all. I remember what a shock it was for me to find out, coming from a Roman Catholic background, that other religions also claim visions. In Mormonism, they claim all kinds of visions. Seventh-day Adventism also claims all kinds of visions. The problem is these visions contradict one another, so either God is thoroughly confused, or there's another source of these visions, and the Bible says there is. The Bible says the devil can come as an angel of light. He can produce a vision and deceive people, and this is exactly what has been going on for a long, long time. A lot of very sincere people, myself included for a time period, was deceived about the most important thing you could ever be deceived about, and that is salvation. And my eyes were opened up by going to the Word, and by the way, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, the Scriptures were given to make us wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So if you want to learn about salvation, go to the Bible, not to the Fatima, Portugal vision or anywhere else. You won't find the truth about salvation there. Thirdly, the thing that was brought up was about the Crusades. Besides the Crusades, look at the various Inquisitions that have occurred in the past. Another eye-opener to me. I never knew until somebody mentioned it to me. In fact, it was a Jehovah's Witness that first mentioned it to me about the Spanish Inquisition. And, of course, along with the Crusades, we go to the Spanish Inquisition and other atrocities like that, even Bloody Mary, the woman that burned so many Protestants at the stake, killed them. And this is a persecution against Protestants, people that would reject Roman Catholicism. You read Fox's Book of Martyrs, and you'll see many examples of that where people were put to death because they stood on the Scriptures, on the New Testament, declaring the things that Jesus and Peter and John and James and the others wrote, and standing fast on that and rejecting subjection to the Pope and purgatory and the Mass and Mary as being worshipped and looked to and trusted in, and to think that she's our helper and our protector and our refuge and all this and that. That has all been rejected by these people that were put to death.
And wasn't
the Church.
Wasn't the transubstantiation in that also where the they actually said if you didn't believe that it was the actual body and blood of Jesus, that many people were really persecuted and killed over that.
Yeah.
Many people.
Yeah, and here's a, let me tell you, here's a good verse. It's Acts 20:28. It says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." I think that's pretty strong, isn't it? And it tells you that this church, that the one that the Catholics claim to be, is the very one that Jesus Christ died, and it says that since Jesus is God, that he died and he purchased the church with his blood. Now, why would he need help from Mary, from saints, from anyone else, when he's the one that accomplished it all?
Amen.
Why? He was God. Yeah.
Amen.
Okay, we got another call, and I think this is Larry. Larry, you're on the line.
Yes, is your guest there?
Yes.
It's very pleasing to hear your knowledge of the Roman Catholic system. My brother just came back from a two-week vacation in Italy, and the Bible speaks of the lies and wonders and the deceit. It doesn't actually, well, it does actually point to the Roman papacy as the great Antichrist or the in place of Christ here on earth. And he brought forth a lot of interesting things that I want to share with you and your listeners. First of all, you mentioned the verse in Genesis 3:15. It talks about the crushing of the serpent's head.
Just a moment. Dan, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, good.
In every Roman Catholic church in Italy that he went to, the Basilica, St. Peter's Basilica, all of these churches, they have pictures up of Mary crushing the serpent's head.
Mm-hmm. And that's a statue also.
They also have a door, a golden door that's encased in concrete. And every 25 years, they chip away all the concrete. And if you walk through this golden door, you receive so much penance. But, of course, it costs you, you know, money out of your pocket to go through there. They also claim to have the bones of St. Andrew. And once a year, these bones drip manna into a cup, and the priest goes in, and you can receive some sort of penance for viewing this. It just, you know, the Roman Catholic system is so corrupt in its anti-view of Scripture. You know, you said that the papacy is equal to tradition, and I really don't believe that. I believe that the papacy calls all the shots, the Pope ex cathedra can say anything he wants, change Scripture to whatever fits his needs, and the word in the Latin is imprimatur. When he does that, there is no argument. Secondly, I would say behind the papacy is tradition, and thirdly, they put the Bible or God's holy word a sorry third, and they interpret the Bible any way they want. Also, in the churches over in Italy, they feel that they have been given the office of the keys, and I don't know if you're familiar with that phrase, but that the grace is only stored up in the Roman system, and like you said, you know, you're damned to hell if you don't believe in the Roman system. Your guest, you know, he was talking about Mary as a co-redemptrix, and, you know, Mary in Luke, the verse that I can recall, and I don't have a Bible in front of me, but she cries out, "My Lord, my soul magnifies the Lord, my Savior." If Mary was without sin, why would she need a Savior?
And also, why would she be in the upper room receiving the Holy Spirit if she was God?
You know, I think, and I really believe this, the Roman Catholic system in conjunction with the Roman government are responsible for more deaths than any one group in the history of this world. And if you do some research on this, possibly over 100 million people. But we always hear about Hitler. We always hear about Mao Zedong and these people. But the Roman government and the Roman Catholic Church are probably responsible for more deaths than anything. But one last point, I would like your
just a minute, though. Dan wants to say something.
I'm certain there are a lot of Catholics out there that are very, very upset at this point in time. The best way to approach anybody that's believing something that's in spiritual error is to just go to the Scriptures and document what the Bible has to say about a particular teaching and show them what they are supposed to believe, show the contradiction, and if they have a heart for truth, they should change accordingly and believe what the Bible says. You mentioned something about over in Italy where they have images and statues where Mary's crushing the serpent's head. Well, you don't have to go over there. The Roman Catholic Church I went to had that kind of statue in the church. And I remember what a shock it was for me reading the Bible in Luke chapter 11. We read this, Luke 11, 27-28. As Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd cried out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." He replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it."
Right.
So Jesus rebuked this woman, rebuked her openly. And this sounds exactly like a present-day Roman Catholic that would be exalting Mary because Mary gave birth to Jesus. But Jesus wouldn't have any of that. Jesus wanted everybody to know who the blessed ones are. Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. This is Luke 11:27 and 28. What a shock that was to me to read. I couldn't believe it because I was taught something altogether different than what the Bible teaches. You see, the Catholic Church is teaching a different salvation message, totally a different salvation message. It was brought about a different way than what the Bible declares. And the Mary of the Bible is not the Mary of Roman Catholicism. And it's just a horrible mess. And the problem is there are precious, precious souls out there that are hanging in the balance. And I plead with these people to get to the New Testament, read what the New Testament says. Don't go by any study notes or anybody's commentary on it. Just believe what the verse itself has to say about these things in the New Testament. Read what Jesus and the apostles taught, and you're in for a shock. You're going to find out that Mary has no role at all in salvation. And when salvation messages were proclaimed, especially in the book of Acts, you see Peter doing that on more than one occasion. You will see he never mentioned Mary one time in any way in having any role whatsoever in salvation. So if we're saved just like they were saved, and they were saved by faith in Jesus Christ, the faith that would bring forth good fruit and turning from wickedness and idols, well, then we better do the same, or we don't have the salvation
Amen.
The Bible speaks of.
You know,
Larry's got one more question. Go ahead,
you know,
Larry.
I heard Justin Regali, and you know who Justin Regali is, right?
Yes.
Hello?
Do you know
who Justin Regali is, right?
Do you know Dan?
I heard Justin Martyr, but this man I'm not
Justin sure. Regali is the head, I think he's like an archbishop here in St. Louis.
Okay.
I heard him preach a sermon, it was about a year ago. And the sermon was supposed to be a sermon of the gospel, but in his sermon he said, when Christ said on the cross, it is finished, that's not really what he meant. What he meant to say was that you need to contribute to your salvation through your works. And in Romans, it's very clear that Christ perfected the letter of the law in our place. He had to live the law, not only die on the cross for our sins, he had to live the law perfectly in our places demanded by his Father, because if he didn't live the law perfectly, the sacrifice on the cross would have meant nothing. He had to do everything God demanded, and he fulfilled the letter of the law, and he died. And when he said, it is finished, the debt is paid in full, I have borne the sins of every human being that has ever been on this earth, that is exactly what he meant.
Amen. Well, okay, Larry, thanks for the call. We're back on the air.
I think what we're getting here in the crux of the whole message
mm-hmm.
and the broadcast tonight is that if your faith is in anything other than Jesus Christ, I'm talking about Mary, a man, a preacher, a rabbi, or whatever, and your faith is not in trusting the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ upon the cross,
mm-hmm.
then you'll perish.
Yes.
That's a terrible word, but that's an eternal thing.
Mm-hmm.
Perish for eternity. If you want salvation, if you really want to go into eternity and you want eternal life, it has to be
mm-hmm.
through Jesus only.
Jesus only. You know, and you hear so many evangelicals think that most Catholics are saved. You think Billy Graham, Bill Bright, Chuck Colson, Robert Schuller, Hank Hanegraaff, Paul Crouch, Jack Van Impe, Pat Robertson, Bill McCartney, and many more promote the idea that Roman Catholicism is definitely within the boundaries of biblical salvation.
And yet it's so anti-scriptural that
it's so bad, yes.
I think I already mentioned that they think that she was sinless. I think that is an amazing statement, especially in light of what the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. See, that's part of the unique glory of God, that you're sinless, and yet they're saying that that's what Mary was. In fact, they get that from distortion of Mary being called full of grace. Now, a lot of Catholics don't know this, but in Acts chapter 6, verse 8, Stephen was a man full of God's grace and power. So if Mary was sinless because she was full of grace, then Stephen must have been sinless too, and even more because he was full of God's grace and power. That's Acts chapter 6, verse 8. But the Roman Catholic Church has exalted Mary to the place where they pray to her. They praise her, they bow before her, they look to her, they trust in her, especially at the hour of their death. They pray the rosary that she's our life, our sweetness, and our hope, our most gracious advocate. None of these things are true. In fact, I say this as kind as I can. I mean it. I say it as kind as I can. If you're looking to Mary for salvation, you're going to miss heaven and end up in hell. There is no purgatory. You must put your faith in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And it must be the kind of faith that you submit to him and live for him right to the very end. They're saying, again, that the Roman Catholic Church has given us the Bible. All you have to do is read the New Testament, and you'll see that these people were not Catholics. They were not believing these things and teaching the things that we shared on this show, the things that are taught in the Catechism of the Catholic Church and Vatican Council II at Trent. None of these things is what they...
No, the apostles were Jewish, weren't they?
No doubt about it.
And
they
right.
pointed people to Jesus and faith in him alone, a commitment to him, and to continue in the faith to the very end. And we look to the Bible because the Bible is given for correction, doctrine, training, and righteousness and reproof. Our teaching is to come from the Bible alone. And this is what the Bible says, 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. This is what a man of God does. If you don't think the Bible is good enough, if you need something other than the Scriptures, then you must not be a man of God, according to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17.
Yes.
Yeah. Mary was born of the seed, same seed as you and I, and that means that she was born with the nature to sin. Now, that doesn't mean she couldn't go to heaven, but I don't...
She needed a Savior.
Yes,
if
she
I
needed
a Savior. Right.
Well, the Catholic Church has declared her sinless, free of original sin and personal sin. So there's a definite problem between, you know, what the Roman Catholic Church is declaring and what the Bible declares about Mary. Again, it's a different Mary.
If that would have been the truth, then she would have been mentioned in the Bible as probably as prominently as Jesus was.
Yeah, but she never was.
And I tell you what, we're running out of time. And, Dan, I want you to give your name and number again. And like I said, the lines are lighting up. And we'll have to continue this again with Dan. And I'll tell you, this is very important that we know these things. And, in fact, we only got 2 minutes left. Did you want him to come next
week? Dan, would you like to do it again next week?
Or can you?
I'd be glad to.
Okay, well, then Dan will be back to continue this next week. And we just have a little time, so... Dan, would you give your address one more time, because I think people need to get in touch with you.
Yes, I can. You can get it over the Internet at www.evangelicaloutreach.org, or you could write us. And our mailing address is Evangelical Outreach, P.O. Box 265, Washington, P.A., and the zip is 15301.
Okay, well, Dan, we just thank you so much, and God bless
Stay
you.
Stay on the line, Dan. I want to talk to you.
Don't go.
God bless you.
And
you
if there's anyone now, that there's people on the line now, if you want to talk to us after the program, we'll be here. You can call us, and we can continue this. But this will be continued next week.
Next week.